The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
All right, our next guests are going to be very familiar as two halves of a very well-regarded duo, Grammy Award winners, chart toppers in Ireland and well beyond as well over the last best part of 20 years now. And they've done Letterman, they've done Jules Holland, so it was pretty inevitable that you were going to turn up on OTB AM, folks. Rodrigo E. Gabriella, you're very welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
Thank you for having us.
How's it going? We'll get into a little bit about how life is in COVID and stuff like that. You're joining us because it's an unusual combination of words, but from what I understand, you're collaborating with Pelé to mark his 80th.
Yes. It was a very unusual situation. You know, we met a Mexican guy who used to manage Hugo Sanchez, you know, if you like soccer, you know who he is. And he as well, besides being like sports agent, he married a Mexican artist, singer, many years ago, and he became as well like a musical agent. So he's in both worlds. And recently we met this guy. His name is Jorge Berlanga, and he's friends with a lot of footballers, and he's friends with Pelé. And he thought like, hey, listen, Pelé has a lot of songs, because I don't know, you know, but he loves writing songs and all that. And I knew he loved music, but I didn't know that he actually wrote a lot of songs. And he said, like, would you like to collaborate with him? And then he talked to Pelé, and then Pelé was like, yeah, Pelé didn't know anything about us. And we just had won the Grammy when this started, this conversation. And then Jorge introduced our music to him. He liked it. He said, like, yeah, why not? And then he put us in touch with his right hand and producer, for, you know, called Rudia, which is an amazing producer. He's worked with a lot of amazing bands and artists, Brazilians and from the States as well, from like anywhere. And then, we met this guy and we talked to them and we started talking about the song, and Pelé sent us a couple of songs to choose from. And then we chose this track and we just recorded it remotely, and this is the result, you know.
That's class. So, like, did you get a chance to jump on a Zoom call like this with him and sort of chat through it, or yeah, how did it all come about, Gabriella?
We didn't get the chance, but we got the chance to talk to his main guy, Ruria, which is they almost close neighbors with, and we talked to him, and for us that was enough because we know Pelé is Pelé and everybody wants a piece of Pelé. So we were happy to know that he liked what we do and he loves guitar music and he loves Mexico too, you know? So he was very happy for us to do to arrange the piece. And that's good for us.
Because I was going to ask, does Mexico love Pelé? I mean, what is the relationship like on the football pitch between Mexico and Brazil, you know?
It's massive because, as you know, the Brazilian team in 1970 was probably disregarded of what, you know, as one of the best teams ever. And when Mexico was disqualified from that, well, they lost against Italy, I think. And the only team that Mexicans looked up after Mexico's elimination was Brazil. And then Pelé was really good at winning the Mexicans' hearts. He would wear the sombrero. The Brazilian fans, they were very, pretty much like Mexicans, lively. And so Mexico really, really took on, even today, when Mexico's out of the World Cup, which always happens, as usual, then most Mexicans go, you know, for Brazil. It's a usual combination, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. I'm interested as well about, like, as people, as kids, I'm sure you both have fond memories of the 1986 World Cup and the world coming upon Mexico at that point. And, of course, that was not the World Cup of Brazil. That was the World Cup of Maradona. Do you have the same love for Argentina as you have for Brazil, or is that a very different relationship?
No. Brazil lost against France in that World Cup in quarterfinals in penalties. Socrates missed the penalty. And so that was actually a very sad World Cup because Mexico was very close to go to quarterfinals too. And Brazil was out, Mexico was out. And yeah, I mean, Argentina and England, they played the famous match. Argentina went passed through. And then in the final against Germany, it was more like, yeah, the Latin team, but it's not the same way. I mean, it's like not definitely Mexicans don't go for Argentina's second option.
Is that, I think that's a South American thing in general, is it? Like nobody likes Argentina, is that right?
kind of.
So yeah, like, look, it's an absolute delight to have both of you on the show, and like, Ireland loves you guys, obviously, and I know you've had like a strong relationship here over the years. What I think people would be interested to know what the last 7 months has been like for both of you. I think you're in Iztapa, Mexico, right? What's the last? It's obviously it's something that's decimated the music industry. What has the last 7 months been like for you guys?
Oh, it's been quite a complete different landscape altogether for us after 20 years of constant being on the road all the time. It was the first time we had to see this year ahead and said, okay, well, it seems like it's not going to happen. So we just came back from, I think we were starting our US tour in, I think in somewhere in the States, in February or March. And we were gonna come to Mexico to play after 4 years of not playing in Mexico, and everything was sold out. Everybody was so happy, and then it was like, well, you're not going anywhere. You go home. So we came home, and the good for us, the good thing is we have a new studio, and that would just for us it was like our place to work and to write more music and all of that. So we have managed to stay very, very busy. And but we miss the crew, and we miss to be on the road and being with our fans and all of that, you know. But yeah. We can't complain, really. We are good here.
We're lucky, yeah.
And like creatively, because it was such a head melt, wasn't it? Like, I'm sure that's an expression that you get, but like that early part particularly where I think a lot of people were struggling creatively, that it was people, you know, with that concentration thing, there was all this noise going on while people got to grips with the enormity of it. So creatively, was it, did you guys find it easy to get into a thread,
you know, right? I think we both are pretty pretty much the same in this kind of, in the sense that we don't really pay much attention to what's happening. I mean, we live in a place where it's actually very small, on the ocean, like in Pacific. It's quite paradise, right? And it's quite away from any big city. And we don't watch news, we don't do social media, you know? It's like, so we try to keep up. You cannot really hide from whatever is happening, and through, you know, our friends, whatever, you know what's happening. But we try to, you know, we come here to studio and we don't know anything about us, you know, outside. And we try to keep that way all the time, because otherwise you go crazy. You just get so distracted, scared, and stupidized.
Yeah, but I think that it creatively, when you have the space and you're not working so much on the road and taking planes or buses or here and there, there's definitely more room to just stay quiet and just start writing stuff. And even if you're not super inspired, it is a good moment to start working on things from scratch, because it's the only way you get momentum. And for us, it was difficult to do that on the road. And so luckily right now we have all of the time, and we're just coming up with ideas and demos and all of that, and that feels good, you know. It feels
productive. We even managed to do this unusual collaboration with Pelé, and other things that we've been doing, like covers, version of, you know, different bands, and we opened a Patreon page. I mean, we are doing many creative stuff, and we're happy, we're okay, you know.
What have you found that it's like in that creative process? I don't know if you guys have landed on some like amazing creative vein now over the course of that, but have you found that it's altered, or as you guys, like we mentioned, it's sort of 20 years now that you've been together musically, that that the last 7 months has altered any of that? I know that like it's difficult to categorize your style anyway, but have you found that anything that's been going on over the last 7 months has altered your style at all? Or
I think, well, in my case, I found the love for music is beyond my career, if you know what I mean. It's like just being here playing without the need of, or you know, the obligation of going out on tour or putting an album out. Mm. I found like I forgot about that totally sometimes, and I'm just playing almost for no reason, you know. Mm. And I love it. That's what I love to do. So even, you know, even if we cannot go back to tour anymore, never, which is hopefully not the case, but you know, I would keep playing guitar, and that has made, in a way, has shifted my, you know, my true nature back to, you know, to it. And I feel much more in contact and much more in touch with the actual instrument than I used to, you know.
Yeah, and I think that also, because we both are playing and normal, like just playing with a guitar and coming up with ideas and stuff like this. And I think you have written a lot of music on your own. Yeah. And me too. And so we both are working separately and different stuff that is not necessarily for the band, the band format. But it's also good for the band because it keeps you all the time fresh and all the time with ideas and a lot of freshness. When we show up here to play, we both coming in with a lot of ideas and proposals and all of that. So in that end, it's good because it's been on the lockdown. It's bad for a lot of things, but it's good for creativity because then you're forced to be there.
Yes.
How's Mexico dealing with COVID?
It's bad. it got very bad, especially in Mexico City, in a few cities. And it was very bad. I don't know the numbers, but I know it was the highest of the countries in the world, I think, after States and somewhere else, and then it was Mexico. And so luckily here we came to orange color, I think, but we're still a little bit. And we know that in Ireland, you guys are very bad right now, and I'm sorry. let's see what happened, yeah. But hopefully everyone is safe.
We're all in it together, absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. And one of the things, obviously, well, a couple of the things, sport and music, obviously, are the two great releases for the masses. And I know, Rodrigo, you're a Barcelona fan, if I'm right. I'm sure you're the winner of the week. Not been, what have you made at the start of the season? Maybe not been everything you might have wanted domestically.
Yes, it's a good start. I was doing an interview the other day with a French journalist, and we're talking about it. And he mentioned that Jurgen, what's the name of Liverpool's?
Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp. He actually said that Barcelona is like an orchestra, right? Playing note by note. And Liverpool is like a rock band, like a heavy metal band. Mm. And the play, you know, in Barcelona, when you used to watch Barcelona play like 10 years ago, and the ones that we were fortunate to go and see the actual team playing the stadium live, and you see how they moved, it was like note by note. It's like incredible. But these days, Barcelona is, they're back to, I guess, to a quartet. They need to become like a, yeah. They want to play like an orchestra. Yeah, man. it's gonna take a few years, before they go back to where they were.
So obviously, as a footballing nation, Mexico doesn't like Argentina. but you make one exception for Lionel Messi, I presume, as a Barcelona fan.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay. I think it's, top. I think it's better than Pelé. No, I'm just kidding.
cut. Listen, there's always Real Madrid to delight yourself in this week, obviously, anyway. So that's...
Yeah, exactly, Saturday.
Listen, it's been a delight catching up with you, and I hope that creative process that you've been through over the last while, that we get to see the fruits of that at some point soon.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hopefully catch up with you soon again. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much. You're awesome. We miss you.
Before we let you go, give us the details of your Patreon. I know you mentioned Patreon, Rodrigo. What are the details if people want to go along and check that out?
Well, I guess it's Rodrigo Gabriela Patreon, right? I don't know how to access, but I think it's just look for Rodrigo Gabriela on Patreon. And it's kind of cool. We didn't really know much about it. And we learned from someone that used it. And it's super cool, actually. You have a very cool access and direct access to your fans. And if you are opening a Patreon, don't do it for, this is like an advice for musicians. Don't do it for money. Do it for other reasons. And it's actually, it works, And then money comes second, actually. It's funny. But do it for other reasons. Do it because you really want to get closer to your fans. And they are so happy. And it's very, very unusual tool, but pretty effective. So check it out.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, cool. Yeah. And if you guys, I don't know if you guys have your guitars there, but if you wanted to...
Let me just...
Brilliant. Well done. That was absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
That's Electric Soul from the latest album,
Metabolution.
The Grammy winner.
That was unbelievable. What a way to finish. Listen, thanks a million. You've been really generous with your time and with your creativeness as well. So thanks a million for all that. And best of luck, obviously, with the song, with Pele, and with the next few months holds as well. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for the interview and the support over the years. Really appreciate it. The years. Really appreciate it. The years.